You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
8:06, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north. It's a Monday morning, October 27th, 2025. And it is time, as we do each Monday morning at this time, to head down to Madison, not just to Studio A2, where Parker Olson is standing by, but Studio A1. We go to the big room,
down the big
down the hall,
the big studio.
John and Nordy are standing by, and John, yes. you can hear their show weekday mornings on our station 92.7 WMDX in Madison or through the Civic Media app. Guys, how are you? Good morning.
Doing well. Happy Monday to you, Pat.
All right. Now it's time. I'm good, thank you. Let's see if I get some vindication or not. Mm-hmm. Packer game, 7:20 p.m. start. You stayed up until the end of it, yes or no?
No.
No.
Thank you. I feel much better. Good night, everybody.
I made it to halftime and just a little bit beyond halftime.
Yeah, I made it past halftime as well, and I thought, well, that's it. It wasn't going well for the Packers at that point.
Thank you. Great. All right. But here are so many people raising a glass of Metamucil to us right now going, good job, guys.
But here's the thing. You know, the kicker, they brought the kicker back from injured.
Yes.
And then he misses twice.
Yeah.
That was just ridiculous. We had a guy who filled in for 2 weeks, didn't miss any at all, and set a Packer record.
Right.
Why are we changing the people in midstream like this? I think Pam Yonke,
the farm babe,
mm-hmm. said that they had to pull this guy off injured reserve in order to keep him alive and well as part of the roster and the team, I believe. Anyway, that's what she said.
Yeah, there was some technical thing like that.
I will put it on McManus, but I will say in being fair to whatever degree, those field conditions, that field was garbage. Yeah. I mean, it was like on a beach with the little tufts of grass here and there. Here's one of the things you never see anymore.
Wow,
you never see NFL games being played in baseball stadiums. And you know, when they get that space between like second and third base, they're playing in the infield dirt.
Right.
And it always looks weird and it never happens anymore, thankfully. But the whole field looked like that. That shouldn't matter to me, but they make a lot of money. You know, I've seen the price of an NFL ticket. You could keep the grass, you know, watered or something for what you're getting. But anyway,
they're thinking about raising prices too. You know, I mean, that's just,
of course they are.
It's getting out of hand. Yeah. They want the wealthy to go to these games because they can make more money off.
If you want to make more money, here's what you do. You come up with these merchandise ideas, alternative uniforms, and then people will buy the alternative uniforms, the throwbacks, because they are so cool. You are a Pittsburgh Steelers fan wondering why your team was dressed as Minion prison inmates yesterday.
Yeah, those are the ugliest uniforms I've ever seen.
That's a good comparison.
Those look terrible, and not even matching pants, flesh-colored pants.
Yes,
a couple of different times I had friends going, are they wearing pants?
Are they wearing pants,
Wow.
I know.
They're like going all Pooh Bear here.
When I tuned in, I thought they were the Packers at first. I didn't know.
First glance. Yeah.
See?
Right.
See, Parker, it's not just me.
No, it's not just me. I had a problem with the uniforms, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we've covered the uniforms and how we don't think they're going to be making some money off of those anyway.
No, I don't think so. No.
All right. Well, we come storming into Halloween week, and boy, if there's one place people love to be on Halloween, it is Madison. It is fun. It is raucous. It is really something, unless again, you're of a certain age and then you turn your porch light off and you go to bed early. I don't know. Are you guys candy hander outers? Are you party attenders? Especially with Halloween being on a Friday night. Does Halloween work for your social calendar?
Well,
it doesn't work on mine. My house is kind of set back, and no one walks up to our house. They're afraid to go up to our house.
Yeah, and I'm in an apartment complex now, so there's no trick-or-treaters around
there.
Yeah,
they're locked.
See, I grew up in a big apartment complex, and so you took a pillowcase, and it got pretty full. And of course, with that many kids, I mean, you had to buy that much candy to hand out, or you just didn't answer the door at some point. But I miss that. It's also why my dentist, you know, drove a Lamborghini. I mean, there was a lot of work needed to be done there. And now, like you said, well, like I'm in more of a rural area, and, you know, usually single digits number of trick-or-treaters that we end up handing out here. So
in Madison, Halloween on State Street used to be huge in the 60s and 70s and part of the 80s.
Yeah, we missed that. We wanted to bring back a John and Gordy State Street celebration again and bus people in from other states, because that's what killed it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It used to be jam-packed from the Capitol all the way to the campus.
And other states were bussing people in for the celebration here.
It got out of hand.
Oh, I did not know this. So it's not the big deal that it was. You know, when going to college in the early 80s, still that was like the place you wanted to be, I guess.
Yeah,
but it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I did
the mid 80s through the late 80s, really. Okay. And then, some windows got broken. Some people got hurt. And
they climbed the lamppost.
Yeah, that was the big deal.
That was the big problem.
Why? Yeah. They didn't win the Rose Bowl or the World Series or anything.
What did they call it? Fright Fest or Freak Fest?
Freak Fest.
Okay. Yeah,
but you know what? These college kids, they had a lot of time to come up with costumes, and they had some amazing, fantastic-looking costumes down in State Street.
Yeah.
We missed those days.
It was
a
big party. Yeah.
Do you guys have a favorite from, you know, whatever year in the past where you go, the best costume you ever wore was?
No, I'm not big on costumes. John has all kinds of costumes.
I'm not either. So, John, you're going to have to bail us out of this one.
Yeah.
Well, I know that there were a couple of students that came as breasts. So, I remember that one.
All right.
Those were the days. Imagination. Let
there
it run
is that.
Wild. Yeah.
I've got a neighbor who really takes the costumes seriously, and he always does such a great job year after year. He's got just kind of a gray scruffy beard, and so one year he went as the most interesting man in the world. You know, from the beer commercials.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Last year he dyed the beard and went as, is it Rip from Yellowstone? And his wife dressed up as one of the Yellowstone characters. He also has a resemblance to Madden. He was the former manager of the Chicago Cubs. Blanking on his first name. And I'm always kind of jealous that, you know, there's people that really want to put themselves into it, whereas me, it's like I'll put a sheet over my head, cut a couple of holes. Oh, boo, I'm a ghost. You know,
a couple of years ago, you know, we came from Comic-Con in Chicago. We came back up here. We were still wearing our costumes. So we went down State Street at Halloween. And my wife was Black Widow from, you know, the Marvel comics. Mm-hmm. And I went as Doctor Strange.
Oh, nice.
And my son, he was Spider-Man.
Dead ringer for Spider-Man.
He's a dead ringer for Spider-Man. He's like 6'4". He's walking around very thin. And everybody thought he was Spider-Man. Even the people who are a little stoned on the sidewalk were saying, "Hey, Spider-Man, help us!" You know, and he didn't know how to take that. He said, "That guy is drunk, isn't he? I don't." Well, and it's like, well, who cares? He's on the other side of the street. Don't worry about him. You know,
yes, but he stays there.
But one of the heartwarming scenes, of course, was, you know, the kids on State Street. They loved seeing Spider-Man, and they loved talking to Spider-Man and shaking his hand. And it was just so cool that my son got into that as well.
Well, it's good on Halloween. A little less so, like, if you're in Times Square on any random Wednesday, and there's like four different Spider-Man guys coming in looking for you know, donations. We were once on a tour in Spain. I don't know if it was Madrid or where. And we have photos of ourselves with a morbidly obese Spider-Man. Don't know how he got into that costume, but he did all the poses and everything, because that's how he made a buck. And then there's Tony, who fills up our comment sections on YouTube from up in Ashland. I don't know, is Dom able to put on your monitor there?
Yes, Tony, we see it up there.
Tony and his family.
Yeah, we see it right
his
now.
Wife,
yeah.
His wife made the mystery machine out of a cardboard box.
That's
and
so
one
cool.
of one of the kids is Scooby-Doo, and Tony appears to be Shaggy, and his wife appears to be Velma over there. And
oh, I see.
I can't make out what the little ones are, but they're just adorable. When you go through the whole thing of actually making, you know, using that cardboard box to make a mystery machine or other things that take much more labor than the generic, you know, packet at the Spirit of Halloween store. I got to applaud that. I think that's great. Thank you, Tony, for sending that in.
Cool. Well, we were thinking also that a lot of people might dress up as the East Wing of the White House being deconstructed.
I heard that.
Figure that out somehow.
Well, there was basically usually you take a cardboard box, you kind of try to make it look like a White House, and then like a corner of it, you just tear it, mangle it, maybe singe it a little bit or something.
Rubble in there.
Just make it look terrible.
I want something tearing apart the walls. That's what I want on there.
Yeah.
A little tractor of some sort.
Yeah.
It would work. We're talking to John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison, 92.7 WMDX. You can hear them on the Civic Media app as well. John, you said you wanted to quiz me on something political or something.
I did. All right. Well, you were in the Senate, a state senator, and I want to ask you. Look, I want to reform. I want the Democrats to win the election in the midterms. And I think we're falling behind. We don't really think ahead too much. And I want to run these ideas by you a former legislator. Okay. I think that because we're fighting so hard, we're holding up everything because we want to fight for the ACA premium discounts. Okay. That's right. What we want. We want the tax credits. Mm-hmm. But can't we also piggyback that with universal health care? Wouldn't it be a good idea if the Democrats got behind the idea of universal health care to piggyback onto the tax credits that we're fighting so hard to keep? Wouldn't that be something? And because people are seeing their premiums go up, they might just want to jump on board universal health care.
I will tell you something that as of last week, I was helping my mom pick out a new Medicare Advantage program because the old one is getting dumped. And so there's like 158,000 people who are in her plan to find new ones, which is not the same as the ACA. But in both cases, you're looking at these things, all of the hoops that you have to jump through.
Yeah.
There's no way to compare apples to apples. And you go, why? How are we still doing this after all this time instead of universal health care like they have figured out in every other developed country in the world? And yet we don't, because the Affordable Care Act was the compromise. That's how it got passed, was, you know, instead of a single payer or, you know, a universal plan to get, you know, some Republican votes, it was, okay, we'll keep the private companies in there, but we'll have an individual mandate and everybody will get covered. And it still didn't get any Republican votes. They've never voted to make any improvements in it. So it's not as bad as it used to be, but it sure should be better. And frankly, yes, more Democrats ought to be running on universal health.
They should have had the public option in there and see how fast people run into the public option.
They would have, except for a guy named Joe Lieberman, who threatened to sink the whole thing. So, So thanks, Joe, wherever you are.
Thanks
I have another question for you because you're a former legislator.
Well, let's take care of that after the break then. So I will answer John and Gordy's questions. I like this. I get to be the political analyst for once. That's coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The Badger men's basketball team has one more preseason game before the regular season begins next week. So this Wednesday, they will be playing Platteville at the Kohl Center. Coverage begins Wednesday at 6:30. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. We are visiting with our friends John and Gordy. You can hear them 6 to 8 on 92.7 WMDX in Madison or through the Civic Media app. And before we went to break, we were talking a bit about universal health care in a game we like to call John Tries to Stump the Former Legislator. John?
I thought maybe you would disagree that maybe the Democrats shouldn't jump on board and start presenting something as big as universal health care in the discussion, trying to at least just keep the tax credits for the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Yeah. But I think because people will, you know, just be freaked out by the high price of premiums that they'll say, you know, maybe we should really consider that. And then we'll have some time to actually talk about it till next year. I mean, we'll have all that time to assure people they can keep their doctor. Every hospital will be their hospital. Every doctor will be their doctor. I mean, it really opens up. And by the way, then when you talk about the ACA tax credits, because they're going up as well, you know, all the prices are going up, we're really putting a lot of taxpayer money into the program anyway.
Right.
Why not just convert to universal health care, put the money where it belongs, negotiate with the hospitals and negotiate the pharmaceutical prices and bring prices down for everybody. And all it is just a small sum of money out of each check, like Medicare and Social Security, that will boost this program for everybody. There will be no more debt, no more health debt in this country.
I think
back to you.
I think that the way you get that, you start with that idea, and the way you get it across the finish line, because they'll go, well, why is it coming out of my check or why is it coming out of my benefits, is you point out that once again, we went from a time where there was like one billionaire in this country to however many thousand billionaires there are now, because our tax system is so out of whack that if for once, and I'm not saying it has to be a Elizabeth Warren's plan, but if you put in some kind of a wealth tax and you remind people that, you know, instead of having $20 billion, by the time the wealth tax is done, you know, a guy like John Menard or Dick Eline or Diana Hendricks, they'll have $19.9 billion.
Yeah. Right.
But we can still pay for health care. That might be a help. And that's where I'll be the first to say that I was probably more of an incrementalist or a moderate in the legislature. But, you know, the years have somewhat radicalized me, I guess you could say, to the point where it's like, look, just go with where your values are. And instead of trying to catch up with public opinion, how about you work on moving public opinion toward you based on the merit of your arguments? And John, what you're outlining there, I think would sway a lot of people.
Now, I agree. And, you know, the Republicans have been doing this for years. They've been creating these weird scenarios that don't exist and leading their voters on with that. And they've jumped on board. Why don't we do the same thing, but with real things and real benefits to society?
Yeah,
at least in this country.
Alicia puts it well on YouTube. I know a group of people who went bold and it worked. The Republican Party, we need to stop cowering. And she's right. I mean, that party has just decided we're just going to go far right, not necessarily always being truthful with the voters, but, you know, we'll do that. And they have gone so far to the right that now they have opened up this opportunity if Democrats are willing to be a bit more bold about how they would do things if they could get 60 votes, if there weren't a Joe Manchin or a Kyrsten Sinema or something like that. Because that is always the thing that, you know, gums up the works, shall we say, is how things were going to go in Obama's term, and suddenly Manchin and Sinema were, and now it's John Fetterman from Pennsylvania who's
isn't that outrageous?
It is. It's like every time you think you're making, you know, one step forward, you end up somebody gives you two steps backward, and that's kind of what we're faced at the moment here.
Now, I've got another question for you.
I'm ready for you.
This is a little thing that Scott Walker tried when he was governor. Before he became governor, he threatened James Doyle, the other governor, to not do things because he didn't want him to do those things. Scott Walker told Doyle, don't do this, okay? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, the balls. What is this guy talking about? He's not even governor yet, and he's telling the current governor what to do, what not to do.
Right.
And that made me kind of angry. So I'm thinking now, why don't we do this? We know that Trump has opened up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for oil drilling, right?
Right.
So why don't we, as Democrats, threaten anybody who sets up opening up the wildlife refuge? Why not threaten and say, well, you can set it up, but when we get in power, you're going to be kicked out. And that will stop anybody from exploring, setting anything up, putting rigs in.
Yeah, it absolutely will. I think that's a perfect thing to say is, you can make the capital investment, but we're warning you, or putting you on notice that, you will have invested in, something that you're going to have to leave to, rot and rust, or whatever it does that it does up there on the tundra. I like in another area, this is already happening with Trump tearing down part of the White House, and that's a different discussion, but this big beautiful ballroom is going to be put in its place. That people are already saying, and I love this, whenever Democrats get back into office, promise you, don't care what they name it, it's going to be named the Barack Obama Ballroom.
Yes
we talked about that this morning.
That's a great name. Do that.
It's like, okay, you can do whatever you want, but just remember that this is American politics, and the pendulum swings both ways, and when the pendulum swings back, you're not going to destroy Alaska.
Joe Walsh wanted to take it all down. Bulldoze it. That's what he wanted to do.
Might be a little extreme, but
that's extreme. I would keep the ballroom, but definitely call it the Barack Obama Ballroom.
Yeah. I love it. John and Gordy, you can hear him weekdays 6 to 8 on 92.7 WMDX in Madison or the Civic Media app. Thank you guys very much.
Right. Yep.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. You as well. Much more coming up ahead here. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. While Latinos across the United States worry about a government that is now hostile to their dreams or maybe even existence, certainly their residency here in the United States, there are still plenty of people who are carrying on with visions of creating their own American success story. That includes an Altoona woman whose journey from Mexico included the creation of a successful small business here in the Chippewa Valley. And she shared her story last week with a virtual summit for the Wisconsin Latino Chamber of Commerce. Carmen Solis started MKS Cleaning Services in Eau Claire, and she shares her advice to others making their own path through the free enterprise system, one that can still hold promise for new arrivals to our country. Here is some of our conversation from late last week. Tell us about how you came to start the company.
I had a job that was a normal 9-to-5, 8-hour job. And as a mom, having to drop off my kids at school, at daycare, it was sometimes challenging because sometimes I would have to leave work to go to an appointment or for something for school. And so at the time, I worked at a cleaning job. And I decided that I wanted to have my own schedule and that I wanted to work for myself. And so at first, I was a little scared, but at the same time, I was prepared to start working for myself. And that is something that I also enjoy doing, is cleaning.
Why did you decide to become a member of the Latino Chamber of Commerce?
I didn't know enough to guide my business at first. And I became aware of the chamber when they came out to Eau Claire last year. So how this helped me was with meeting different people, knowing how to get my first client, either my first house or my first location, commercial location. These have helped me overcome this fear of reaching out to people and also learning how to make my own business cards or to make that outreach to potential clients. The chamber helps us have a firm purpose in what we're doing. It gives us more security and confidence in what we're doing as a person, as a business, and it helps us be able to share our businesses with others, and so not being afraid to talk to others, to network, this would be really important.
At the Eau Claire Virtual Business Summit, you will be sharing your business journey with aspiring entrepreneurs. What are you most excited to share at the summit?
So I'm excited to let them know that as a business owner, if I was able to do it, they can do it too. To also trust in God and to get closer to organizations like the Chamber of Commerce. So it's important because they give us opportunities like this one to be able to connect to different organizations, communities in Wisconsin. And also to motivate those entrepreneurs that if they have a dream to not give up, even when times are difficult, they can still do it. It doesn't matter what type of business you open. It is always important to be open to any skills that you might have that you might be able to develop or continue developing, and always discovering those talents that you have, and always trusting in God that you have something special and that you keep continuing whether there is any challenge in the road. There is always going to be success, and to always be humble and have faith that things will turn out well.
Carmen, can you tell me more about your own personal history and how long you've lived in the Eau Claire area?
I have been living 26 years in the United States. I currently have 3 kids, 2 daughters, and 1 son, and 1 granddaughter. I have been living 15 years in Altoona, and I really like this place because it is very calm and it is very nice. I always feel the support from the community, and although English isn't my first language, I still am able to connect with others in the community. So I like to be able to participate in different kinds of events. I do speak to my family in Michoacán. It's about 26 years since I haven't seen my family, but my family is very proud. My parents are always telling me to keep going, and they always encourage, since I was little, I was always dreaming of doing more things.
I am so happy that you have taken time to talk to me about your history and your business.
So I do want to just give like a final message for those entrepreneurs that are wanting to start. If they have any kind of doubt, to just give that first step, because you never know what that first step can lead you to. And then if somebody asks me about my business or any advice on how to start a business, I am always welcome to help them. So I'm always open to questions. And then I will also always refer them to the Chamber of Commerce, as they always give me advice on what to do and always give me those resources to be able to expand my business.
That again was Carmen Solis. I talked to her late last week through an interpreter about her own journey of entrepreneurship and the remarks that she delivered last week to the Wisconsin Latino Chamber of Commerce. You can learn more about the group by going to LCC. For Latino Chamber of Commerce, WI.org. That's LCCWI.org. Because again, despite the environment out there that is decidedly hostile, there are still people who are looking to, you know, encourage others to share and chase their dreams. I know there's no shortage of articles about Latino business owners saying that customers have been staying away out of fear of either being, you know, detained or deported, or being, you know, simply on the scene when something bad is happening, when, you know, Trump's masked police are showing up here. And so there's been a lot of push to support Latino-owned businesses. The Latino Chamber of Commerce has represented both Latino and non-Latino business owners throughout Wisconsin, help with economic development programs and providing access to networking opportunities, as you heard from Carmen there, basically advocating for a fair and merit-based business climate and being a champion for public policy that opens the doors of the marketplace for both emerging and established businesses and promoting lasting economic developments. And again, to learn more, head over to LCCWI.org, LCCWI.org for the Wisconsin Latino Chamber of Commerce. Jane Matinair is coming up in just a little bit. She's going to tell us what's coming up on her program. She and Greg Bach will be along from 9 to 11 today across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then let's see, Todd Albo's coming up at 2 to 4, and he will actually have Jane as a guest at 2:35. And then, of course, there's the Maggie Dawn Show today from 4 until 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Parker Olson is producing not only the whole 3-hour show, he's digging up entertainment news to keep those of us who are news nerds in the know about things away from the front section. And those of you, you know, five people left subscribing to USA Today who have the purple entertainment section in front of you, know exactly what Parker's going to do next. He's got entertainment news for us. There, or do you?
I have news of entertainment. Okay. Pat.
All right. Bring it along.
Johnny Depp is in negotiations to be Ebenezer Scrooge.
I would watch that. Now, bear in mind, as we cover every holiday season on this program, I don't know that anybody will be a better Ebenezer Scrooge than Michael Caine in the classic Muppet Christmas Carol. And if you haven't watched Muppet Christmas Carol, you are missing out.
I think this might be a slightly different version of a Christmas Carol.
It's totally going to be different. But the thing that made Michael Caine's work is that Michael Caine said, I will not take this role unless I can play it straight. And so the Muppets are doing Muppet things all around him.
Yeah.
But he's not at any point winking in the camera. He's not, you know, going along with the joke. He is totally bah humbugging his way through it. And it's incredible. It's really good. Will Johnny Depp's version have Muppets?
To be a darker, thriller version of
Why
the story.
Does everything have to be darker? Hey, let's remake Batman. It was a fun, campy series in the 1960s. Yes, but we're going to make it much darker. How about Superman? Yes, but we're going to make it darker. It's time for the fourth Spider-Man remake. Great. Can we make it darker? Is anybody making things a little lighter, a little more tongue-in-cheek nowadays?
Not many people at all. I'll tell you what, Pat. I watched Casino Royale.
Mm.
I finally got around to putting a little James Bond in my life.
Well, congratulations on your first James Bond movie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What did we think?
I thought it was fine. Yeah. Gonna be totally honest. It's like, I was okay.
You know what? You tried. You broke the seal on it. Yeah. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
That there may be another one now. I would not go any further than if you weren't that impressed by that one, the rest of the Daniel Craig ones aren't going to do it. You know, go watch Roger Moore or Sean Connery or Pierce Brosnan. Go watch one more. That way, at least you can, when the conversation comes up, who was the best James Bond? You can at least say, well, I liked this guy better than that guy.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, but Johnny Depp is Ebenezer Scrooge. Okay, but that's just talk. So we have no idea when this would be filmed or come out or anything like that.
No, but I think it's pretty darn close to being contracted. Okay. So we're getting there. We'll know soon. Well, I bet we'll know by Christmas, Pat.
Okay. Well, will it be on par of the Chris Farley biopic? I mean, because that's something that's getting a lot of popular buzz right now.
Surely that'll be an entirely different vibe.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's on our watch list. We haven't seen it yet. Yes. We're waiting till after our next Target run because apparently we're going to need extra boxes of tissues because it's a real tearjerker.
Farley will be played by Paul Walter Hauser, who actually was just in the new Naked Gun movie. And the Farley biopic will be directed by Josh Gad.
Oh, wait. Whoa, this is new. We're not talking about the Chris Farley documentary. Oh, no, that was John Candy. Sorry, got my comedian. The John Candy documentary is on our watch list. A Chris Farley biopic is in the works.
Yes.
Oh, you know, I really should have shown up for rehearsal. I would have caught this thing in dress rehearsal if I'd have been there, but I was not. My apologies. So a Chris Farley biopic.
Yes.
Okay, not the same as a documentary, which also means this thing could either be really dead on or it could make a lot of people upset if it does not give what they think is a fair representation of him.
Biopics are kind of murky water. I don't know if we need to be doing that. I don't know. I get a weird vibe.
I mean, I would like to see somebody do a really good Chris Farley biopic, but you know, when that happens, again, you could either get a Rami Malek who does a very good job with Freddie Mercury and have something like that. But we, you know, there's been no shortage of examples where the person just falls short, or the storytelling falls short. And so, yeah, I will be, let's just give it the generic, I will be interested to see how this comes along, but I will be watching for it. All right. Anything else we want to cover here, entertainment wise?
Would you like an update on the Louvre jewel heist?
did they find the jewels?
They found two suspects connected to the jewels, which are worth $102 million.
Ooh, well, in that case, the next question we have to ask is, when will the biopic be made of these two suspects? Because that's all we do now, is we dwell on the crime stuff. I'm sure they've got a backstory. There will be a documentary. Oh, yeah. They will show up on daytime TV and talk about their troubled childhoods.
Oh, yes. These guys were arrested by the, I believe it was the Paris Gang Brigade, was the police division that got them. I am very excited for this Scooby-Doo remake documentary.
Scooby-Doo remake of the Louvre heist. I love it. Tony puts up on YouTube, back to the Chris Farley biopic, I wonder if David Spade is involved. That would be a good indicator of quality. That is very true.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Now we know what to watch for and see if this thing comes together. All right. Like I said, Jane Matinair show comes up next, along with Greg Bach, Matinair on Air. So Jane will join us to talk about what she's got on the show this week, coming up in just a bit. Remember, follow what we do all day long over at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com, and subscribe to our newsletters there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner. We'll meet with Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, Capitol Hill correspondent. We'll talk to us live from Washington, D.C. about any developments that take place in the government shutdown fight. And we'll talk to a guest from Friends of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore and the impact not only there, but of national parks around the country because of the government shutdown. So be sure you join us for all of that tomorrow. And if you can't join us tomorrow live, well, get us on a podcast. Get over to Spotify or Apple and sign up, and that way you won't miss a guest. You won't miss a topic. Same thing goes for the program that comes up next year across the Civic Media Radio Network. That would be Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. Jane Matinair, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Parker. Good morning, everyone. And hello, live stream. Sorry about that little slip in the secret show there.
The secret show is a little spicier that way, but we were telling stories.
The word I never use.
Never, ever.
Greg?
Yes.
No, don't ask Greg.
No, don't ask Greg. No, he'll fall off. But we were talking about age differences in people and recognizing people. And I don't know if I've told you how Sherry and I now identify elders in the crowd. As we started, you know, as we were going out to things in public, and we'd say afterwards, I was going to say something about that older couple, but then I realized they're not really older. They're our age.
And they're us.
They're us. And they're so us. You ever notice for, like, you know, when toddlers are like 18 months old or maybe 2 years old, and they see somebody that's pretty much their age, and they point to them and they go, baby, baby.
Yes, yes.
We realize that's what we're doing now, is we're just so now when we see a couple and we're not sure if they're really older than us or not, we just point and go, baby.
Oh, that's really funny, Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah. My husband and I continue to try and delude ourselves, like when we go away on vacation, mm-hmm. and we'll look around and go, well, we're among the younger ones here. Ish.
We used to be. I mean, I used to go on these holiday vacations, travel trips, and Sherry and I would go, and we would bring the average age of the bus down
yeah.
to like 77, you know. And now we're not a drag on the average anymore. We're much closer to the mean than ever before. But, you know, we now are at that point on, say, a Tuesday. We're like, well, do we need to run over to the grocery store and get something? we could wait till tomorrow. We get the senior discount on Wednesdays, you know. And that's how it used to sound, like, I guess we'll get the senior discount. And now it's like, wait till Wednesday. On Wednesday, we'll get the senior discount. This will be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. There, at some point, you finally embrace that stuff and go, you know what? I am this age. Yes. I'm getting the 5% off. Darn it. I don't care.
You embrace. You go, I am a baby. That's exactly
I am baby girl, apparently.
I did. Oh, yeah. You got called baby girl over the weekend.
So weird. It was so weird. It's weird.
Our family, our whole extended family, is on a big old Snapchat chain. And I don't know if you use Snapchat or not, but you can also create like these avatars, these little cartoon characters of yourself.
Sure.
And I did finally have to acknowledge I was sending a happy birthday to my younger daughter today. And I'm looking at it going, that's not me anymore. So I had to go to the little avatar and I had to make the hair a little grayer.
Oh,
yep. Make the face is a little fuller, and I'm looking at it going, yeah, that's me. And that is in no way depressing, but it is it just is who we are.
You don't have to be honest with an avatar, Pat. Come on. That's your one opportunity to embrace falsehoods.
That's not what my family would say.
I suppose. Like,
hey, somebody's a little out of date there. You think you're in middle school? No.
Nice try, Dad.
Yep, exactly. What is coming up on Matt and Air on Air today or this week or whenever?
We are going to talk to Mr. Global. Matt Randolph is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news to talk about energy costs. And of course, that was a big promise of the president that energy prices will be down. And we're going to drill, baby, drill. And it's all going to be fantastic. And coal is back. And so we're going to talk about a number of those things coming up with Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, who will be here after 9:30. We're going to start off the show talking about the FEMA dollars that have now been denied to Wisconsin. Also, a story about Michael Gableman. Remember Michael Gableman?
Michael Gableman, yes, yes.
Michael Gableman, who Robin Voss hired at taxpayer expense for, what, $2 million we paid him?
And did a quote-unquote investigation worthy of Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther movies. Yes.
And found absolutely zippo nothing as far as shenanigans going on with the 2020 election. And now there is some talk that Michael Gableman should have to pay for some of those legal fees.
Yes, he should.
I think that's kind of a, I don't know, I think that's a good thing.
I'm more motivated than ever because we have a president who is currently shaking down the Department of Justice for $230 million, meaning he's shaking down taxpayers. And so the extent to which, you know, we can get that from people who have unjustly bilked taxpayers the way that former Justice Gableman has, I think that would be completely fair.
And hour number two, we're going to start off with Scott Bessent. Of course, he's our Secretary of the Treasury.
Yes.
He is just nothing more than a lowly, struggling soybean farmer, Pat. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I did not know that.
I didn't realize that until he said over the weekend that he, too, is a soybean farmer. Of course, I think he's worth $500 million, but that's just a little side note. But yes, we're going to talk about poor Scott Bessent struggling, apparently, because of tariffs.
The struggles. The struggles are real for them.
They are.
All right. Well, I wish him well, and I'm sure that anything that we have to say about that will more accurately reflect, I don't know, the real soybean farmers of Wisconsin and the uncertainty that they're going through right now, thanks to these guys. Yeah. So for all that and more, Jane Mattenair, Greg Bach, coming up right after the 9 o'clock news here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you for that, Jane. Appreciate it. Have
Gentlemen,
a great start
it's been
to the
a
week.
Pleasure. Thank all you right. so much. Yep. We'll see you next week.
See you later. And again, coming up later this week on the program, we will be talking, we talked about healthcare, and on Thursday, we'll talk to an expert on Medicare Advantage plans, because those are also a healthcare feature that cost could be going up sharply if you don't know exactly what to do, whether you're an elder or the caregiver of one. So tune in for that later this week as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Thanks for being here today. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.